And I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand aright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sometimes there's a lot of arguments about these headings and if David really wrote these psalms, but there's very little argument in the church that this is a psalm of David. And we who have studied scripture and if we've grown up, especially with the children's story Bibles, there is something about David. Many of us know about the life of David as opposed to other people in scripture. We know that David was a shepherd boy, that he actually fought with the bear and the lion. He could actually tear the lion apart with his bare hands, and that God used him to protect the sheep, that God anointed him even though he was the youngest, and that he was used by Almighty God to defeat that 9.5 foot tall, that nearly 3 meters tall Goliath with a slingshot and the blessing of the Lord. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And he knew that on that day, Goliath would meet his death. This is David, who had to work many years running away from Saul, dodging the spear, fighting against the enemies with Saul, facing Saul's judgment and facing Saul's envy. And all through that, he lost his friend Jonathan, whom he loved dearly. And then it took some 20, 25 years before he finally consolidated the kingdom of Almighty God. And through all of that, this man who killed thousands, who was a master with the bow and with the arrow and with the shield, who could command men, would write these beautiful psalms. And God inspired him through his life. And it's always interesting to think that this powerful warrior could write such beautiful, tender, and loving words. And we study then this morning Psalm 20. Now, Psalm 20 is a liturgy, and I tried to work that out so that there was a pause between verse 5 and 6. So between verses 1 and 5, or 5 and 6 rather, verses 1 and 5 is the people gathering together like you are, singing to the king, to the great king, the Lord our God, on behalf of the king. And we'll see why that happens. Then we will see that in verses 6 through 8, either the king would sing, or someone would sing for the king. I think it depended a little bit on how well the king sang. And then the answer comes back from the people, Hosanna. Save, Lord, may the king answer us when we call. So that will be then our setup. We'll use those verses for our theme and points, that we see our king, ultimately in Christ, but David, leading the church militant, because they're getting ready to go out to battle, in prayer to the Lord. In verses 1 through 5, the congregation prays for the king. In 6 through 8, the king proclaims his confidence in the Lord. And then verse 9, one more time, the people bring their petition to the Lord. So we're not sure when exactly it was, but we know that David is looking forward or up against a coming war. We think that probably it was with the Syrians. The ark has already been brought back to Jerusalem. And now he gathers the people together because the church is under attack. Israel is once again under attack. And what is David the king going to do? Well, he writes a liturgy. He writes a psalm. And he gives to the people the words that they can speak, the words that they can bring ceremonially, but also we would hope from the heart, to bring their petitions and their care to the king, because David understands that a faithful king, which is important, is still without power. He's utterly impotent without God. If we cannot say, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, unless God was on our side, let Israel say, we would have been swallowed up alive. Unless the king can lead the people and the people understand that, they are going to lose the battle. There is no hope for them. As mighty as Israel was getting in the days of David, it was still because of the activity of Almighty God. God had destroyed the Philistines. God had destroyed the Moabites. God had destroyed all those people through Joshua, through the judges, through Saul, and now through David. And David knew it. Israel didn't have a great big army. Israel didn't have all kinds of horses and chariots. They didn't really get to that. They never really got into the Bronze Age, out of the Iron Age, until the days after Solomon. They were very slow in that development, and they were very slow in their military development. And David knows it. He, as a faithful king, knows it. And he knows that he has to lead the people to cry out, may the Lord answer you, king, in the day of trouble, in the clay of despair, in the mire of distress. You see, Israel is the forerunner of the church. And in many ways, we can say that it is the church. You know, some people say that we believe that the church replaces Israel. That's not true. Israel morphs into the church. Israel, through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are part of Israel, and Israel is part of that church. And the church and Israel are always under attack. Satan wants nothing more than for that faithful king to die. David was under attack by Goliath, but Goliath was the servant of Satan. And though Satan isn't mentioned in those stories, we know that he is alive and well. How else does Goliath dare to curse Almighty God and to curse his anointed and to take his stand against the anointed, as we say in Psalm 2? Satan wants the king dead. And the church knows that Satan wants the king dead. And the church knows we need this faithful leader. And so they cry out, long live the king. May the Lord, Yahweh, answer you in the day of trouble. And may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. It's beautiful, hey? May the Lord, I am, Yahweh. You know, sometimes we know what that means, I am. But do you ever really think about what that means? That God is I am? That he's self-existent? That he asks nothing of anyone? That he is utterly independent? That he always was and always will be? I mean, it's a remarkable thing. Our God. And we can't even begin to understand or fathom how great and how amazing that he is. He is also the Elohim, the creator, the provider, the sustainer. He is that God, I am, who is the God of Jacob. And David especially uses that name, Jacob, instead of Israel, because it was the house of Jacob that God redeemed from the land of Egypt. We heard it this morning. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I saved you from Pharaoh. I saved you from Egypt. I saved you from Moab when you walked through the wilderness. I saved you from the Amalekites and all of those Canaanites. I am your God. I am the redeeming God. May that redeeming God defend the king. May he send you help from the sanctuary. Now, this is before the building of the temple, and the word sanctuary there is a little bit different than temple. So sanctuary is simply a holy place set apart. And we know that by this time, David had moved the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. We remember the whole sad story of Uzzah. But now the Ark is there. And the people gather in that symbolic presence of Jerusalem, the city of peace, Jerusalem. And then God is there in presence. And then the Ark of the Covenant, then not in the Eli and the Hophni and Phinehas way, where they bring the ark and make an idol out of it. They understand that God cannot be, you know, confined to a building. But there in that place, The people feel that they are very specially in the presence of God, and that God from there will go out with the king. So we remember that in Genesis 28, when God says to Jacob, "Wherever you go, I will go. And I will drive out your enemies before you, and I will give you the promised land, and I will always be with you, and I will never not be with you until I accomplish this promise." So when you unpack all of this, you can see that David is well-rooted in Christian history, in the history of redemption. He knows his Bible. He is a king who has Torah beside him, and he knows those five books of Moses. He knows the history. And then he writes a liturgy that the people would pray to this God. He knows he needs that help. You know, in many ways then, you see that David is being renewed after the image of God in an Old Testament way. It's always a little bit difficult. How does the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament over against the New Testament after Pentecost? But the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that paraclete, paraclesis means that the Holy Spirit comes in around you and beside you and tucks you in. And though perhaps David doesn't have it in his heart the way that you have been blessed with the Holy Spirit, still God is doing something in the life of David so that David then would be changed in his heart and his mind. That his will now is in line with that of Almighty God. And so then he says, "People, we need to get together and worship. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill your purposes." You know, one of the beautiful things about the Church of Jesus Christ, one of the beautiful things about Israel, is that when she was faithful, and when the king was faithful, and that could be then with Moses in his role, in Joshua in his role, say Gideon in his role, but now with David. When the king is faithful, he leads the people to be faithful and to bring their prayers and petitions to God, especially in a day of trouble. So what Satan is trying to do, of course, is to rattle us, to get us to lose our sense of mooring, that we feel unsettled. And I think many of us right now are going through that. We're going through that sense of, what's going on with our government? How long are we going to have the freedom to speak? How long are we going to be able to have Christian schooling, whether in the home or whether in our institutions? We see in different parts of the West that it's already being halted. We wonder how long we are going to live. And I think sometimes, if we're honest, I think we're a little upset because we've enjoyed really good life for a long time. We could make our money, we could build our schools, but we could travel, we could go on vacation. If we want a cell phone, we can get it. We can have a car, we can have all of this. And now all of a sudden, it's starting to hurt. And we don't know if we're going to be able to afford all these things. And it looks like the corrupt are winning. And then what does David do? David says, "People, worship. Bring your offerings. Bring your prayers. Cry out to Almighty God. God, restore us." That's what those offerings of the king are about. Like when Abel brings his offering and the smoke goes straight to God. When Noah brings his offering and the smoke goes straight to God and it's a pleasing aroma. When Abraham, ready to kill his son, and God stops him and he brings his sacrifice. These aren't so much guilt offerings as much as they are peace offerings. Lord God, we need to be right with you so that when Satan comes after us the hardest, the victory we have in Christ is what we're doing right here, worshiping God. We're not going to let the devil ruin our day. We know that anyone who takes their stand against God and his anointed king, in this case David, is going to lose. They cannot win. If God is for us, who can be against us? I know our brothers and sisters in India, we heard that this past week from Word and Deed and from Brother Postma. Less than 3% of that great big nation of India is Christian. And there is a growing anger that the church is growing. Why are they so scared? And they come after the church. The persecution that comes under Islamic states and communist states. And it's going to happen here most likely. But don't be afraid. Worship. Don't get all distressed. Pray. Believe who God is. And believe that what David was in part and in imperfection, you now have in Jesus Christ. Look at those beautiful words. We're praying that, and we probably don't have to pray that anymore. Where it says, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions, your heart's desire, your purpose. David, when he was walking with the Lord, wanted what God wanted. He desired what God desired. When he made his plans to go out for battle, he was in tune with Almighty God. And the people pray, may the Lord grant you that, because they trust in their king. Oh, that we would have that now when we look for, you know, voting in new office bearers. Look at those men. Talk to those men. Do they want what God wants? Do they desire what God desires? Do they think like God thinks? I hope that happened when you were looking for a minister. And I hope you see that in us well. Pray for us worldly, earthly leaders so that we in the church can be of service to our King Jesus Christ, who joins man and God together beyond what Adam ever was. Jesus said, whatever your will is, Heavenly Father, I will go to death. I will go to the cross. I will go the way of curse. I will do whatever it takes to deliver your people from the evil one. I will destroy sin and death. And he's coming again, and the last enemy, death, will be defeated. May the Lord grant Jesus the desires of his heart, because they are the desire and the will of Almighty God. Beloved, don't be afraid. For what Israel had in David, we have infinitely more in Jesus Christ. He's won the victory. He's won the battle. He is the King of Kings. We're not waiting for some thousand-year reign. We're in it. Jesus Christ rules. We don't need Jerusalem, and we don't need that sanctuary anymore. Do you not know that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? And he sends you out into the battle. I pray, he says in John 17, Father, not that you take them out of this world, but that you leave them in the world, that they would be light in this world, that all would see that you, Father, and I are one, and that they are one with me, and that they are one. Leave them in the world. And then what does Jesus say? He says, in this world, you'll have trouble. In this world, you're going to be persecuted. In this world, they're coming after you. But don't be afraid. Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. And so we pray. And then Satan, the devil, he has to run away. What's he going to do? Satan flees when the church is praying. Satan flees when the church is singing. Wherefore do the nations rage? May the Lord answer you. Are we in prayer, beloved? And not out of a prayer shot, Hail Mary prayer. But we believe who God is, and we know who our King is, and we know that we win. We know that what Revelation 19 tells us, that Babylon, that kingdom that represents all the kingdoms of darkness, will be destroyed, will be laid down, will be nothing. But we will stand in the glory of our God. And so now it switches in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. You see how David now comforts the people? I know that the Lord will save me. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. So in Isaiah 40, you remember that, where it talks about, who will you compare me? God says, to who will you liken me? I am powerful. I am strong. I created the heavens and the earth. I know all the stars, and if I know all the stars by name, I know you by name too. I am strong and powerful, and I will share that strength so that even the finest of your military men, your athletic men, even though they may grow weary, I will strengthen them. And now we have it again. David says, my help is in the name of the Lord. My strength is in the name of the Lord. God is my refuge and my strength. He is strong and he shares that strength. He empowers me. The right hand is not simply the arm of power, which it is, and that's where Jesus is sitting, but it's also the idea of fellowship, that when you extend the right hand, you're saying, we're one. We have relationship. We have a peaceful, restored, beautiful relationship. And David says, that God is with me. I can tell you that the Lord is with his anointed, because I wrote Psalm 2. Wherefore do the nations rage? And why do the people plot a vain thing? What do the righteous do? They meditate on the law of God and then they kiss the Son because they know God is with the Son. And that God is pleased with his anointed. And David in confidence says to the people, I hear that you're praying. God hears that you're praying. And I can assure you that God is with me. And if he is with me, he is with you. Our God will blessing send. So that the kings of the earth take their stand together, the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed. And then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. I have installed my king on the holy hill. He inspires them to confidence. And I hope this morning that you're inspired to the confidence of King Jesus. That we have been too apologetic. We have been too defensive. We do not need to work from the place of fear. Doing a conference yesterday and talking about dating. What are you supposed to do now? How many genders are there? How many pronouns are there? Beloved, stand in the Lord. Stand in your King. You share in the anointing. You share in the Messiah's Holy Spirit in a way that David didn't even know. Don't be scared to speak the truth in love. It's not arguments to win. There is no argument. There are two genders. This is what marriage is. This is what justice is. This is what the unborn's life ought to be. This is what government should be. This is fair and unfair taxation. All of these things, but mostly, beloved, you need to serve the Lord. And if you serve the Lord, all of these things will be added to you and you'll understand them. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. So yeah, I think we need to get ready that we might not be making the money we used to make. That our money isn't going to go as far. But is that the biggest deal, beloved, if our lifestyle changes? Will we still not stand in the truth? Will we still not be able to say, well, take it all away. I've got Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you stand in that rootedness? Do you hear the voice of Jesus in David? The Lord saved his anointed, but the world will say, oh, but he died on a cross. No, he rose again from the dead. People say, well, look at a church. It's feeble. It's meaningless. And we say, well, look at Revelation 12. Yes, the devil is coming after the church. But Jesus Christ is defending the church. And Jesus Christ is way more powerful than the devil. And because of that, the church is far more powerful than the world. And if you're in the church, that's how you need to begin to see your life. And the domination of Jesus Christ through you as he builds his kingdom. And whatever it takes, whatever situation we need to go through, we will get through it. That's why I think we don't spend enough time on Ascension Day. And that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God. And that he's ruling all things, gathering and defending the church. Some trust in chariots. Some in horses. Look at what's going on in Ukraine right now. Could Putin be more feeble and looking more weak with all of the weaponry that he has at his disposal and this country, Ukraine, which hardly has anything, and the West isn't even really, besides Britain, giving them all that much in terms of weapons. How is it possible that this man and the Russians can't overcome? Because God is involved there. God is taking care of that situation. Weapons are good as far as they go, but they don't ever guarantee a victory, and they certainly don't give you the victory. Either God is God or he's not. And David says, the Lord is with me. So let them put their trust in chariots, and let them put their trust in horses, and you can put it into tanks, and into bombing airplanes, and into machine guns, and everything else that you think of. But it will never destroy the church. It will never destroy the plans of God. God is with Christ. Christ is God. And the two of them together are dominating the world for your good, for your salvation. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Do we enough, beloved? Are you anxious? Are you getting unsettled about the things of the world? Are you frustrated with the government of Canada? Are you frustrated with the nonsense we hear out of the mouths of our politicians in this election campaign in the province? Remember the name of the Lord. Are you weak and heavy laden? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And your love will grow. And your faith will grow. And you will grow, grow, grow. Hear Christ Jesus say, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. And I'll give you rest. I will protect you. I will be your shepherd. I will give you under shepherds, elders who will take care of you. I will give you men who will lead you in your homes. I will give you people in your life. I will take care of you. Trust me. And if Israel can trust David, we can trust Jesus Christ. We can trust in his authority. Because look what David says. They have been bowed down. They have fallen. Where is Egypt? The horse and rider has fallen into the sea. Whatever happened to the Philistines and the Moabites and the Amalekites and the Jebusites? Whatever happened to all of them? Whatever happened to Babylon and the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans? What happened to Hitler? What happened to Stalin? What happened to Chairman Mao? What happened to all these regimes? What's going to happen to the state of Islam? They will be bowed down. And you will be lifted up. It's actually interesting because where it says there in verse 1, may the name of God of Jacob defend you, that's not really a good translation. It really says, may the God of Jacob lift you up and exalt you. And that's exactly now what we say is going to happen to us. But we have risen. Stand upright, beloved. Get your back straight. Get our posture going. You are soldiers of the living God. You win. You have the victory. You have the king. God is on your side. Don't grovel. It's time to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross and hold high his royal banner. And in God and in the name of God, we will set up our banners. The church is already singing in the assuredness of victory. That's why David the king writes to them the words that they will sing. And now God, through Christ, inspired David to write these words that we this morning can hear it. Set up your banners. Set up the flags of victory. Go into the battle with a sense of confidence and surety. And then bring that prayer. Very short last point. One more time. Hosanna. Save us. Hosanna. Save the king. May the king, and notice then it's with a capital K, may the king answer us when we call. Who's our king? God. Who's his king? Jesus Christ. Who are the prophet, priests, and kings? Well, that would be you, that you would manfully fight and overcome the devil and the evil one. And you will. But we're always looking to God. It's not, God is not asking you to do this on your own. He says, trust in me and watch what I will do through you. And if the church will remain strong in Christ, and if the church will remain strong in God the King, and if we can pray in the name of this ascended Jesus Christ who is at the right hand of God, pleading and interceding for us, gathering and defending and preserving you, using you for that process, then don't be afraid. For as Jesus said when he went up into heaven, all authority has been given to me. And I will be with you even to the close of the age. Get behind us, Satan. We will serve the Lord. Get behind us, Satan. Jesus Christ is dominating you. Get behind us, Satan. We will not be rattled anymore. For our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. May his name be praised, and may his name be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for being on our side. Thank you for giving us freedom and redemption. Now, Lord, we pray for courage. We ask, Father in heaven, that you would lead us and that you would guide us, that you would bless us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with the church around the world today, that you would be with missionaries around the world who are bringing that gospel, often in very difficult situations, under oppression, aggression against us. And Lord, we're seeing a growing hostility towards us. Maybe, Father, it was really always there, now it's just more open. When our own prime minister says there's no room in Canada for people like us, he's sorely mistaken. And there's nothing really he will be able to do about it. And so, Father in heaven, there are some of us that we are anxious and we get so angry and frustrated sometimes, but give us Jesus. When we're about to falter and fail, give us Jesus and be with him as he is with you. And save us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you saved your son, our king. Thank you, Lord, that you answered the prayers of Psalm 20. We pray now, Father in heaven, that you would go with us and that you would bless us. Father in heaven, we bring just a few more petitions from our morning prayers. We're thankful for Wilma Gringhouse and that Kimberly's doing as well as can be expected and that she's in good spirits. Thank you for that. And we thank you also, Father in heaven, for couples who are looking forward to their wedding day. And then, Father, we pray that you would be with Paul and Sarah and watch over them, defend them, bless them, and keep them. And, Father, as we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and celebrating that in Ascension Day, we look forward to the day when Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Amen and amen.